Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on our Old Testament reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I'll just reread the first verse. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of this time together and the blessing of this new year, and we pray that you would be among us as we meditate today on your word and as we receive your holy supper, that you would come to us with your gifts to bless and strengthen and uphold us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's remarkable how much time we spend thinking and talking about time. We even use the word all of the time. Time and time again, you might say. We talk about losing time, gaining time, wasting time, and telling time. Having a good time, a bad time, or a hard time. Times are changing, we often say. Time flies, time rolls on, it marches on. Time waits for no one. Time is money, we hear said. Time heals all wounds. It's only a matter of time, we say. Sometimes we think it's like time is standing still. At other times, like time is running out. We describe ourselves as being time poor, as never having time enough. Come on, Pastor Ben, you're probably thinking time is short, time's getting away, time's not on our side. Time is against us. Time is of the essence. And I might respond, I have time, if you do. I understand there's no time like the present, that soon our time will be up, so perhaps it is time we moved on. I'm not sure if there is another word, another concept, quite like time, that we use and we speak of so regularly, either knowingly or unknowingly. Today, the writer of Ecclesiastes gives us this beautiful description of time. It's a poem, really. I just want to look at two key elements of that passage, the burden of time and the beauty of time. The burden of time and the beauty of time. So from verse 10, I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. The burden is that in this life we are bound by time, and yet time is also out of our hands. And so there are good times, good things that come, but they also come to an end. And there are bad things that happen and seem to be allowed to run their course. And usually we can't prevent one as much as we can't prolong the other. We are bound by time. We don't control it. We can't very well manipulate it as hard as we try. And no matter how many movies we see on time traveling, I don't believe it ever has happened or will happen, whether human beings are really capable of such things. And yet the text says God has placed eternity in our heart. We're created in the image of God. We have the law of God on our hearts, the Spirit of God dwelling in us, the grace of God covering over us. We've had this taste, this sense of something more, of what the text calls eternity. And so we long for it, and we strive for it, and we wish to know more about it. That's something that is bigger and better than just ourselves and our own little time and space. We want to know more about the past, or be more equipped to live in the present, or certainly to know more about what's going to happen in the future. But that's the burden of time. It can only be lived one moment at a time. It can only be received. We don't create it. We can't hasten it. We can't slow it down. It is out of our control. You see this because human beings are always either looking back at some golden era from the past, the good old days, and trying to recreate it, or they're always looking forward to some golden era in the future when things will finally be what they're meant to be or better than they are now. Now, neither the golden era of the past nor the golden era of the future is really as golden as we tend to make it in our minds. And neither seems to help us live contentedly in the present. It's like a young girl wanting to wear lots of makeup and jewelry to make herself look older. Or it's like the middle-aged man wanting to drive a fast car to make himself feel younger. And you see, both chase something other than what they have. There is a beauty of young age, there is a beauty of youth, and there is a beauty of middle age, and even a beauty of old age. But it doesn't come from chasing a different age. It comes from learning what is wonderful about that time of life and learning to be in that time of life and to be there well. The writer says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Now, if you look forward into the New Testament, there's two words for time. And these words help us get our heads around this concept. The first is chronos, and it's the word we get words like chronological from. And chronos is the date, the time of day. When we say what's the time, what we mean is what's the chronos? What time is it on the clock? That's one sense of time. But there's another word used in the Bible to translate the word time, and that is kairos. And kairos is what's used to translate the Hebrew of the Old Testament from Ecclesiastes. And kairos has more the sense of the key moment, the occasion, the opportune time. So when we say, for example, my time has come, now we don't mean it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we mean the opportune moment is here, or it's time we talked. Now I don't mean we've got to talk at 1 o'clock, I mean, the time has come. The opportune moment is now. And that's what kairos is in the New Testament. The opportune moment. What the writer says is that every opportune moment is in God's hands, and He makes every moment beautiful in its time. So what's the beauty of time? What's the beauty of time? The beauty of time is to see time as a gift. Something we don't create, something we don't work to bring about, but something God still gives us as a blessing. Both the good times and even the bad times. Giving the good times for our blessing and limiting the bad times, but using them as well for some kind of blessing too. And so God gives us things in the past to be grateful for. He gives us things in the present to enjoy, and He gives us things in the future to look forward to. And the beauty of time and the joy of time comes as we bring ourselves into line with God's timing. As we submit to Him and trust in Him and walk with Him and stop wanting to be God and control it all and start simply living under God and entrusting our lives to God. The poet describes all sorts of experiences which come under the lordship of our God. And you would have heard, Jane read them for us, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And so it goes. Now the writer here is not giving us an idealistic view of life, but a realistic view of life. He's not saying this is how we wish it was, but this is how it actually is. There is a time for all these things. All of these things come into our lives, for better or worse, for good or bad. It's all part of the human experience. One commentator, Matthew Henry, very famous commentator, writes this. He says, "Is it summer? It will be winter. Is it winter? Stay for a while. It will be summer again." The point the poet is making is time has this cyclical nature, this seasonal nature. It's always predictable in one sense, but it's always changing in another sense. And just when we think we can hold on to it and grab tight, it shifts again and it moves. The beauty of it is that there's always something to be gained and enjoyed and received in every moment and in every time. Even if what we're to gain is to learn to rely more on God, or to walk more by faith, or to pray more without ceasing. You see, even the difficult times can teach us things like that. New Year's Day is a good time, a kairos time, an opportune time, when the world's busy making its resolutions, for us as Christians to be resolved to place this year into the hands of God, just like we placed last year into the hands of God. God who is, of course, unlike time, unchanging, unshifting, unmovable, and so imminently trustworthy and reliable. Matthew Henry, that same commentator, goes on to encourage those who may be in the midst of a difficult time. And I know that for many people, this time of year is far more difficult than we often suggest. And he says, "Remember that the lowest valleys join to the highest mountains." The lowest valleys join to the highest mountains. That the periods in our life that we go through that seem to bring greatest distress or hardship can very quickly give way to times of great relief and great comfort. What I hear him saying is, hang in there in these times. As Christian people, we have every reason to be optimistic about the new year, because the new year is God's year. And God will be with us through that year. The writer of Ecclesiastes comes to this conclusion. He says, "So I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This too is the gift of God." Time is the gift of God. And joy in that time, and happiness in that time, satisfaction and contentment in that time is the gift of God in every season of life. And the writer says, look, the most simple things, food and drink and daily work and life, these things are the gift of God. Family and vocation, your daily work, your daily life, your daily relationships are the gift of God. 2018 was the gift of God, and 2019 likewise will be the gift of God, whatever else it is. The challenge for us as human beings is to receive it as such and to welcome it with open arms. It says in the book of Galatians that when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. In the New Testament, there is this sense of the kairos, the opportune time, the critical moment of history. And it's not our time, it's his time. And the text says that when that time had come, God sent his Son into the world, into our time and into our space, to be born among us, to be one of us. Why? To redeem us. To take back our time and hold it in his hands. To redeem all of time and all of life. Jesus Christ, we know, is the same yesterday and today and forever. When we're up and down, ebbing and flowing, waxing and waning, When our times are good and bad, Jesus Christ stands there right in the center of it, the same yesterday and today and forever, and the same for you yesterday and today and forever. He does not change like shifting shadows, but he is the constant, beautiful light of God for our lives. St. Paul says of the coming of Christ, "Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of your salvation." And therefore, when we look at him, we see there is no time like the present. There is no time like the present to walk with Christ as our Lord. There is no time like the present to be open and receptive to the things of God in our life. There is no time like the present to receive from him everything we have as a good and gracious gift. There is no time like the present to pray for him and ask for his help in our need. There is no time like the present to walk with our Lord, the one who has made everything beautiful in its time. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, help us to receive your gift of time by which you order our lives. Lord, help us to receive the good times as wonderful things that you have blessed us with, and to even receive the hard times as things through which you guide us and help us and teach us much. Father, as we look forward to this new year, to 2019, help us to receive this whole year as a gift from you, to know that you have plans for us and you are guiding us and leading us into those plans. Lord, help us to walk with you this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.